The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people.
Good night, Bahamas. Still broad daylight. It's still a little bit of light outside, so I'd say good evening to each and every one of you. Please drive safe. I'm your host tonight, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and then you can listen on Cable Bahamas 969 on the cable channel. And it's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday, and to each and every one of you, I hope you're having a wonderful Friday evening, and I hope you have a wonderful night. Tonight, we're going to talk about some comments that were made in the news concerning matters of deportation in the country. We had some good comments made by the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas concerning the United Nations. Then we have the former Minister of Immigration, Brent Simonet, supporting Brave Davis' comments relating to the United Nations asking the Bahamas if they can stop deportation here in the country of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We talk about that, and then we talk about some other issues that's happening around town. And if you want to join the conversation, you know the numbers. And again, I'm your host, Valentino Braun, and I hope you have a wonderful night. Okay, we're going to start off with the United Nations, with the mass problems that occur in Haiti. Over the years, you could say the last 50 years, where it has reached a boiling point in many different countries, where we have nationals of Haitian descent fleeing their country because of the violence that is happening now in Haiti. And the Haitians are being very resilient across the world. They help many nations, you know, fight slavery. You know, they help free many nations, you know. Their history is deep. And they're being sanctioned by superpowers, you know, countries that colonized the Caribbean and the world and made many people slaves. And many people are asking for reparations now to the English government, and especially with the new crown prince, King Charles. And but there's a problem. The problem is causing major problems for us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We're no better than nobody in the world. But each country in the world has an option and commitment to have what you call a covenant with the Father, with the principles and, excuse me, phone ringing. And we all have laws and regulation, and each country has their own culture. Each country has their own tradition. Each culture probably has their own religion, which I really don't believe in religion, but if it's something that follows the guidance of what is good in the world, something that's not falling with what's bad in the world. Okay? I'm trying to put it the best way I can. And we have laws and regulations. And over the course of the years, we have been in flux with persons leaving their homeland looking for a better way of life. Over the course of that 50-year or 100-year journey for struggle, it has caused a burden on us who have become civilized. We're trying to have a country that we can live in, that is peaceful, that we have employment, that we have a lot of business owners, that we have a family structure, you know, with a church, community, and government, and the citizens themselves are on one par, trying to uplift like our national and animal states on what are put together. And that's what we want for the country. And over the course of that, many people want that too. And many people came here illegally, and many people benefit here in the country. Well, they also contributed greatly. And we are many who have slipped through the cracks, not properly being properly regulated, and slipped through the back door. And then we have those who are coming, you know, who have no documents and just trying to land in the country and just eat up the country's resources when it comes to health care. You know, that's a burden on us because every time people come in the country, we have an agreement with the United Nations to not dehumanize. So we have to give them health care. And even so, we have to give them education. And even so, we have to even feed them. But it's left up to them to find ways on how they are going to be able to make it in the country, whether they have permits legally or some other means. And it's caused a burden on us with the healthcare. You know, there are no hospital beds in the hospital. You know, schools are overrun because as part of our treaty that we signed with the United Nations and CARICOM, it's our duty once we sign on to take on the responsibility of those who come here, whether legal or illegally, because we allow them to go in the hospital, whether they're legal or not, because that's part of something we signed on with the United Nations, and we can't take it back. So the only thing we can do is try to stop them as much coming in. You know, we can't stop each and every sloop that comes in the country, but we have the Royal Bahamas Defense Force on guard with the latest set of equipment to be able to tackle the influx, to be able to balance it out because we can be overrun. And the government, being under pressure, like many other governments before, have been slow to react because of international laws. This is one of the reasons many of our governments here, I'm talking about both the PLP and the FNM, were not able to really put a real dent in on the problem with illegal immigrants in the country. That is because of the laws the treaty we signed with the United Nations and CARICOM. See, these go hands in hands, come. You know, as you can see right now, we have it was a passing Supreme Court where the government is given okay. But we saw in the past where the government, on behalf of the Bahamian people, were looking to demolish homes. And then the Haitian national had their lawyer, Fred Smith, and he stopped that, and there was an injunction. So the government wants to do something, but at the same time, there's a corner suit, and because of international laws, they are able to hold the government at a standstill. So now the government is being able to move. And because of that, the United Nations, for some particular reason, have stated to the Bahamas government to stop repatriating Haitian nationals back to Haiti because of the crisis in Haiti. And we're talking about violence, we're talking about robberies, we're talking about abuse, we're talking about verbal abuse. You know, we're talking about killings. You know, we're talking about ramshacking buildings and et cetera. You know, it's complete chaos where they're trying to send in international help from around the world. You know, they wouldn't recommend some of our police officers and defense force officers leave from here and go to Haiti to assist. And, you know, it's a very tricky situation. And now that we're here and we're trying to protect our borders, because you could have people who are desperate leaving their country, you know, and some of these people are uncivilized, okay? You know, we are trying to change our citizen, our stance for them to change their mindsets here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we see the carnage that our citizens are doing now, and they are more humanized than in Haiti, because, you know, they're running rampant with assault rifles. They're killing people in the streets. You know, they're burning on police stations and houses and whatever it is. And they helping it with the army and the police, you know, is lawless. And we in the country, you know, we were close to that, you know. So we're trying to correct that by changing the mindset and bringing opportunities for our citizens. You know, that's why we're starting the small business, the second chance, you know. Our social service being able to assist. You know, many different organizations in the country are trying to give back. The church is trying to give back because we see the carnage that was happening in our country. So our citizens, you know, are a little more humane, you know, a little more, you understand what I say? But on the other end, and then there are people who are going to live like that, you know, because they have access, you know. And people are afraid of them, so when they're on those boats and they decide to live and decide to come to the Bahamas and they set up shop here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, their way of life and our way of life is completely different. And then they have access, you know, because they're lawless, so they're living in the bush and they could break many by laws. So this is very a serious thing for us here in the country. You know, and I'm glad our Prime Minister spoke on the matter, and he said in his own words that, you know, he respect what the United Nations has to say, but at the same time, we cannot stop repatriation back to Haiti because it will put screen on us here in the country. You know what I mean? Because we don't have a lot of people unemployed in the country now. And when you have people coming in from a nation looking for work, it deprives your citizens of employment. Because if we could get someone for cheap labor in abundance, then we don't need a Bahamian guy or a Bahamian lady to clean the yard or cut the grass or do some painting work or do some masonry work. You know, we have people who are illegally, we're going to give them minimum wage, you know. Bahamian people, you know, you're going to have to give them like $600, $700 a week, $800, $900, $1,000. So you get people who stagnated, come here, you know. They're decent people, but at the same time, like I said, many of them have a pass like everyone else. And when they come here, they're desperate. And this deprives the Bahamian citizens of being employed in the country because many of the business owners and contractors have options in the country. You know, so that's why the government is also cracking down on permits and telling people who bring in Haitian national or anyone from a other nation to sign for them to make sure they have proper housing for them. And so these are steps the country is taking, you know. And like I said, we're trying to change our mindset in our country with our youths today. So, yeah. So I applaud the Prime Minister on a job well done of standing up for the country, you know, and what's right, you know. This is not, say, you know, people might say, you know, well, why? On their end, you know, just say you have the Haitian nationals who are here now, and because the Prime Minister make a statement, like, people would get angry, you know, because they're looking out, see, they're only thinking for their people. We all one people, but we're here in this Bahamas, and we have to protect the Bahamas for the Bahamians and all those who come to our shores to live here so we could have a safe environment for all who come here, you know? So we are people when we say things like that, as simple as it is, and the Prime Minister has the right to protect the Bahamian sovereignty and protect the Bahamian people. So when people hear what the Prime Minister has to say, many people who would be mad and say, man, Bahamians don't like them. You know, it has nothing to do if a Bahamian like it or not. You know, it has the fact that there's a rule of law in the country. There's the fact that the Bahamas is a sovereign country. If we is such so-called an independent country, that we claim, right, from 1973. If we are to claim an independent country, then we should make decision based on what the Prime Minister made when we decide to deport those who caught you illegally in the country. Those who are caught here in the country legally, once they're checked out, they're released. They go back in the society living just like any other being in the country. There's nothing wrong with it. We have to protect the country because we allow a lot of this country. Then what do we got? We're going to have Haiti. We're going to have what? El Salvador. Those country. Yeah, so the, so we have to step up if we are an independent country. So it's decisions like this are decisions we want our prime ministers who inherit that position to speak on behalf of the Bahamian people on that matter. Because we are a sovereign country and we are an independent country. And we have the right to do what we want as long as it deals with the Bahamas rules and regulation. If we decide to work with an international organization, it's going to be on our terms. Because this is the Bahamas. That's what having a sovereign country is all about. You cannot be afraid to speak out. And then going to the comment made by the former Minister of Immigration, the Honorable Brent Simonet, in his remarks supporting the Prime Minister. See, this is the next good thing also. And people might say he was the Minister of Immigration. Why didn't he go over there and do the stuff that the Prime Minister is doing? May I tell you, if you look at the rules and regulations of the United Nations and CARICOM, you would see where governments abide by it. We, the Bahamian people, might want the government to do certain things. You know, we expecting them to just snap their fingers and do certain things. It's about a rule of law. It's about going to court. Even though the government is right and breaking down the shantytowns, how long have we seen when the government started to break the shantytown down? There's a lawyer for that group of people, and they put a sanction on the government. So it's a very tricky, tricky situation, and we're starting to make headway. So it's a good step in the right direction. And the former Minister of Immigration, he supports the Prime Minister fully. And here's the reason why I'm saying that. There's also a flick with former President Bill Clinton. But I just want to prelay this one. It's similar to this one I'm going to listen to. I hope I can let wait on the line. And I just saying, when they spoke on the matter, Mr. Simonet, he talked about the fact that he supports the Prime Minister fully. I want to play it. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay.
Serious troubles, but we can't take every boatload of persons that are coming over here to get away from the violence. They're, in most cases, they're not asylum seekers within the strict sense of the word asylum. They're economic, maybe, asylum seekers, which does not grant them the right to have it political. Now, you could argue that gang warfare in Haiti is creating a political... But we can't take everyone.
The former MP expressed that the country is facing an immigration crisis because successive administrations have turned a blind eye to the crisis here on our shores.
If you're on the way to the hospital, the church, or school, they will not arrest you for immigration violations. So we're making sure there's an education for those people that are here. They're healthy and the right to freedom of worship. A lot of other countries don't have that provision or don't apply that logic.
Simonet stated that the Bahamas immigration laws has only had minor amendments within the last 5 decades, adding that it's time for policymakers to take a serious look at them or continue to be faced with the legacy issue.
It is brewing. It is underneath the skin. It will erupt at some point in time. I hate to think.
Laurencia Smith.
All right. Okay. Those comments made by the former minister, right? It tells you on when I talked about the education, like just say illegal immigrant running away from Haiti, lands in Abaco, undetected, okay? They are unemployed. They have no paperwork, okay? They come in a bunch. That's about 70 or 60 of them that time. Eventually, they're going to have a child. So when a child is born, because now it's the fault of the Bahamian government who has not apprehend them. So now they're living in the country. They come, like, let's say, they reach out about, let's say, they reach out about 2,000. Yeah, 2,000. Lanya, anywhere in the country, in abundance. Second year, they probably get impregnate or get pregnant. They have a child. Now, if the Bahamas government, the immigration, or the Royal Bahamas Police Force, or the immigration department does not catch these illegal immigrants, and they have a child. Once the child is born, like Mrs. Simonette stated, we're going to allow them to have health care because we signed on to an international agreement with CARICOM, okay? And it's the taxpayers. So when we say taxpayers, let me explain to you when we're saying taxpayers. Taxpayers are those who purchase their driver's license, where you pay your money, you go to the driving department, road traffic, and you pay for your driving license, for you to be a motor driver's license, and also for you to be a licensed driver's license to make sure you don't break a law. For those who pay their insurance, for those who pay their light bill, for those who pay their water bill, for those who pay them taxes to the government, the VAT tax, and etc. Yes, that's the taxpayers' money. That would go us to pay for those who come in the country illegally because we sign on to agreements, all right? Sign on to agreements to uphold these agreements. And we take care of the individual, he or she. We provide them with education, you know. We provide them with health care because, you know, they have to go to the hospital when they're born. They need to get vaccinated. They have to make sure that, you know, they're healthy so they can be able to enter primary school. They got to get the measles shots. They got to get the smallpox shots. You know, they have to be checked for cholera and all this stuff. It is all paid for by the Bahamian taxpayers. That's me and you. And the same people now who are suffering today in the country now, asking our government now to provide opportunities for us right now in the country. So you understand what is happening? And that's what Mr. Simonette is talking about. And that's why the Honorable Prime Minister is doing what he have to do. Because it's a screen on us, because we have a problem with ourselves right now, where we are looking for a better Bahamas. So if we don't try to balance it off, you know, it hurts. It hurts in our hearts, many of us out there. I know it hurts us to be having this discussion about these issues because we do love people, you know. But then we look at our own family who are unemployed, you know, who are losing their minds, who are committing suicide. You know, we have so many young men in prison, you know, who are our family members. And only the reason, and I'm not blaming it on the group of people. I'm talking the government and neglect us also, and the church neglect many people also. But I'm saying overall, this is a combined mess we're in. Until you analyze it and see how this adds up to this. And that's the reason I'm having the show today, because when I watched the interview with the Prime Minister, and then I watched the interview with the former Minister of Immigration, former Minister Brent Simonette, you can see how all the dots go, and you can see what is hurting us in the country. You understand? And we have to be very careful, you know. And many of us are loving people. You know, we don't want to see no one get deported. We don't want to see no one get hurt. You know, it hurts to see, like, the immigration bus pulls up and grab a mother, a Haitian national who comes here on a boat or illegal, and then have kids, and, you know, the kids are screaming. You know, it hurts in my heart. You know, it hurts in many of our heart. You know, but what we're going to do, we have laws and regulation. And you can't be bothered. You can't be mad at the Bahamian people who are speaking out, you know, because we have laws and regulation, and we can't go in no one else's country and do these things. We is one of the few countries in the world today that actually supports the Haitian National when it comes to healthcare and education and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. You know, those who come here illegally and then get status, you know, in the country later on in life. You know, so we are being very sincere, you know. And it, like I said, it hurts to see on the news where we have, you know, seeing a mother, a Haitian national, you know. And then what sometimes you rate the BMing people and how the people, some of the people are so bold, and it rates them because people say, BMing people say, you know, the stuff they do here in the country, you know, we can never ever dare try to do back home. So we have a call on the line, and we're going to take this call. We can take this call, April. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, good day, man.
Good night.
All is good.
Yeah, all is good. All is good.
Hey, Scrooge, one thing I have to ask you, like persons when they come illegally, they get some public free education, medication, and everything, right?
Yes, sir.
So, they go all schools open to those persons. As long as they can pay the bills.
Yes, if you
if college.
I don't know if the college and all that, I think they're going to have the work they are, but the opportunity is there for them because once they land here.
Clark and Queens College and those schools, the paying schools,
That's a tricky one. I can't say.
The public schools, they.
Yes.
That could be integrated.
Yes, so yes. That's a part of the agreement we signed. That's what people need to understand.
Our schools are just open to it.
Yes.
So we can't have like segregated schools and unless you have like documents and everything you can attend.
Right.
I thought that signing of that treaty was more based on education. Those persons once they're here,
yes,
their education, they would pay for their education, but then they would have to be educated. I don't think it's for us to pay for their education and everything like that. I don't know.
We accept them, so you know they're we get them social service and et cetera.
So, we don't get no funding from the UN or no other
country
to. So why did we?
Don't they need to do that? You just gave a solution. Why they don't do that? You know, and put the money in.
We sign treaties in the UN or wherever foreign treaties we sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those persons who we signed the treaty with foreign, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to have a budget where they
give
money to allocate, to take care of whatever costs incurred upon the Bahamas government to deal with these people, like to transport them and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's the only.
But you know what is ironic, right? When I asked you about the schools, right? Right?
Go ahead, sir.
So the Bahamians, the Bahamas government, all the Bahamas government schools have to be open for these persons, illegal or whatever.
Yeah, because it would be discrimination. It would be discrimination.
To accommodate.
Yes.
So why is it that there's a segregated school where only Haitians go to St. Francis Xavier School on top of the hill there?
Because just put it like this. Like I said, those people have their own agenda, so they decided to do it because.
Yeah, but the government is supposed to allow it.
Now.
Because guess what? Ain't no way. Let me say something. Even the Christian Council allowing the Haitian bodies have their own segregated
in the country. Yes.
And have this.
That's bringing division. It's bringing division. This is what's going to happen.
We have two different. I'm talking about two different countries in one.
Now you're getting it.
We have one. I mean,
we're supposed to be one Bahamas.
Yeah, man. Even on the radio, right? Yeah. These persons that come here, right? I don't see no Chinese, no German, no Russian, nobody see it fit to be on the radio, to be disseminating information about how to get passports, how to live, how to do whatever you want to do. You want me to do something? The Bahamas government, I guess it's all a plan, because the mere fact that the amount of persons who are here from Haiti, right, it's no way anyone in their right mind would allow it. You don't cater to something that is dominating, and I mean double, could be triple your population, and kept secret by persons who are in government. It don't make no sense, and you know what? At the end of the day, the fallout of this is going to be so, I'm talking about devastating.
Yes.
And these persons who like to play the game, to collect these monies, to put in their pocket, to satisfy their own ego. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be mayhem in this country, right? And don't think it ain't going to happen, because guess what? Look at the company we keeping. Better screwing up and say, my little lady, oh, let's say, man, look here. Come, no company, and what the people be around. Don't keep no bad company. But you know what? Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we in this country, right? What I see, right? It's like we are racist. All this black Africa, oh yeah, all this got to unite. We got to get together. And you know what? This is nonsense. Because we allow this person to come in this country. These people are on the boat. What's telling you that these ain't gang members? Who come in the boat running from the next gang to come here to set up shop?
Not that they ain't come here to live. They come here to make money and bring description.
Yeah, exactly. They come to set up shop and dominate. And the government is like, how could you allow your citizens to be in harm's way? I mean, like, it's only a matter of something to happen. One thing happening, the next thing you know, it's just mayhem in this country.
Yes, that's why.
And there's no control over those people.
That's why we have to try utilize the law as much as possible to bring stabilization.
How could you utilize the law when the law and the government allow this to happen?
Well,
the problem can't be the solution, you know.
No.
You know, we gotta. I mean, I don't want to be an alarmist, right? But I mean, like, what I see in this country is akin to a nightmare. Mm. For the mere fact that, you know, you're screaming, you're shouting, you're seeing this and that, you're seeing things going down, right? Mm. Nobody listening. You can't say this, you can't say that. You know, you got to be this way, be that way. But anytime any behemoth commit a crime and things, they face the first any law. Yeah. I mean, never hear no be humane. Don't let them fellas go on the ground. You can't put the fellas on the ground. Put on it, because that's inhumane. I mean, when people break your laws and things, and they got, why do we have these two even special like treatments for these illegal people? Yeah, if you could take your own citizen and treat them like a dog, and put them inside them dirty cell and things, and then these people, when they come, they want to be treated like a king when they come to go to the detention center. What this nonsense is? I mean, come on, we got to keep it real, man, you know.
Yeah,
you can't treat your citizens worse than people who come here who you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
The people who you grow up with and everything, mm-hmm. who are your family and everything, you treat them like dogs and treat them stranger like somebody. You know, these people, when they turn on you,
mm-hmm.
you think they could be for you? They say they want people.
Mm-hmm.
They put their own people in arms, they all the children in school.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. The government is the downfall of this country for 50 years right now. This nonsense, right? You want nonsense?
I call it
that. And let me say something. You know, you see why I'm talking, right?
Hey.
So I'm the enemy because I see what it is.
Man,
the truth.
You can't be the enemy, man, for speaking the truth.
No, seriously, man. And I ain't being xenophobic or nothing, you know.
No,
it's being
it's
real.
It's the truth. Anyway, thanks a lot, caller.
Yeah, man, bless up, man.
Thanks for your opinion.
Yeah, man.
Wonderful. You know, we want to have an open mind, you know, like I said, you know, people just are fed up with the whole agenda stuff. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Caller, you there? I guess they left, you know. And a lot of people. We have to take a break. Okay. April said we have to take a break. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after the break on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
People, what you thinking?
We want something different.
Uh-huh. People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking.
We want to see it function.
I can tell them no more joking.
I forgot.
Going down Blue Hill Road. Gone down Village Road, gone down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government.
Fix the road.
We want local government.
Shed a
load. We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
COVID. I finished the BTVI Smart Start program and this mechanic shop hired me.
Smart Start?
Yeah, if you didn't finish high school when the pandemic was going on, you could sign up for auto mechanics, beauty, fashion, or construction. It's only 12 weeks and you get to do an internship.
Too bad, I ain't have no money.
Your Smart Start is free.
Free? I might as well go do hell.
Listen, don't count yourself out. Email smartstart@btvi.edu.bs or call 502-6300 today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas. Big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night. We are back on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. And I just wanted to say, many people are very uptight about the things that are happening in our country. You know, we want to be a law-abiding country. And, you know, we are not here to bash no nationality or no nation. We understand the struggle of these nations. We understand the struggles and what they did for the world. And, you know, but at the same time, we have to make sure we stabilize the Bahamas so that we can have a place for us here and for people who are running away to come to, if they're really in need and really wants a better way of life. We want the Bahamas to be that place as long as you do it the legal way here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, because we can't have a chaotic society and then we end up like what's happening back home for many of the residents who are fleeing their country. You know, we'd have to flee the Bahamas if we don't be able to stabilize our country. Okay. April, I think we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Mr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine. I hope you're doing well.
I agree.
Well.
The caller we just called. I know you're passionate, but what happened is this situation is serious. See, one thing, Mr. Brown, you can't allow people to do is let you believe that you could be lukewarm in any situation you're dealing with in life, whether it's the Bible or in the world.
I agree.
Ain't no such thing as being lukewarm. It's either you're evil or you're good. You can't be in between.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, one thing with your situation in your life, you spoke about your life and you asked for forgiveness of your life. You admit the things that you did in life. You didn't just come on the radio and just ignored everything you did. You didn't come on the radio and pretend that ain't nothing been wrong in your life. You were man enough to say, you know, Lord, forgive me, and all the people around me, forgive me.
Yes, sir.
See, you are the real deal, as someone who you could call good, if you're looking to call somebody good, right?
Yeah, I understand. Yes, sir.
I say that to say this. The members of parliament, because they are not victims of crime, it really doesn't matter to them.
Wow.
If the 190 murders or 130 murders would happen, including half of them, not saying that that's what I want to happen, don't get me wrong.
Yes, sir.
If that did happen to their family, trust me, they would have done something about that.
Wow.
But remember, they always say, oh, it's one of us now, so we have to do something about it.
You're correct.
And they like that saying.
You're correct.
But let me say this. There should not be a no-fly zone when it comes down to criminality. Because when you do that, you create a war's nest that you would never be able to control.
Yeah.
Because if you say the church is our boundary for the police, and if you say, even though you know for a fact they're committing crimes, and if you say the hospital, now the hospital, I would agree with that. You need that patient to recover. I never say the hospital. But say the church in the United States, they lock up people in church every day, even including the pastors, for committing crimes.
Yes,
you're going to create a war's nest of criminality in a church if you allow it to happen, because people are going to take advantage of that situation. Now, one more thing I want to say. Remember last week we were speaking about the Chinese and Buddha, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to say something on reference to that again. Now, you know the cross. Are you talking about the cross that we put around our neck?
Yes, sir.
You'd be familiar with that. And most people will put that cross around their neck in order for protection. You know that's what they mean, right?
Yeah.
Now, that cross is no different from the Buddha.
I agree. It's image.
Let me tell you why I say that cross is no. The Bible says, what is Caesar? Render to Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
What is God? Give to God.
Mm-hmm.
That cross was made by Caesar.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was something created by the world.
Yeah.
There's no different from the hangman rope. There's no way that Christ would say to them that you should wear that in remembrance of me. When Christ mentioned the cross, he was talking about either the sacrifice or what I had done for you internally, not to use the weapon that the enemy used to kill him. Because I sure as nowhere in the Bible would confirm that Christ decided that he would take on the image of the person who killed him. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, that's man who did that.
Man who did that.
Yes.
So the Bahamas continue to push that.
You're right.
Continue to push that as a representative of Christ.
That's
I don't know where in the world they get that from.
It's a mockery of Christ.
Now, one more thing I want to say.
Go ahead.
Now, Christ said that. Why he asked his disciple, why do you call me good? There is none good, not even one.
Yes, he said that.
Only my Father in heaven is good.
That's correct.
Let me tell you why I said that. Also, Christ never said that you should worship him.
No, he never said worship him.
Never. So I don't know where these people come from when they go in church saying, Jesus, Lord, we worship you, we serve you. The Bible said, God said this, I share my glory with no man, nobody. The same thing with the devil did in heaven, was trying to get the Father's position. That's the same thing the earthly people are doing to Christ, but he never asked them to do.
Yes.
He even went to the point to say, why are you calling me good? So if he's saying that, obviously he's trying to tell you, make no mistake. Don't try to set me up. Don't put me in the same position the devil put all of us in now, trying to make me believe I'm superior over the one who sent me. Notice every gospel church, they never, you know something? I never even know God, and they used to call God Jehovah or Yahweh. You know why? Let me tell you why. I didn't know that because they used to say only Christ.
That's right. Just do your search. The truth will come out.
Right. So they were, you know for a fact, we grew up only knowing that Christ, they would put God in only for a God's sake saying. But 99% of the time, they mentioned Christ as the man they should be worshiping.
Yeah. After the last like little 10, 15 years, I started doing my research and I started to see the name come up. And I started to see all the names of the prophet come up. Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm sure you would have only known about the key name they use, Christ. But Christ never asked them to do what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, but okay. Well, anyway.
I mean, if you could bring some clarification, I never know Christ to tell them to worship him the way they're worshiping him.
No, it's actually, what you're saying is actually, it's the Roman Catholic changed the dynamics of believers into Christianity, and they put the pagan ways in there, and they revoice the word of God and switch it in the words of men. And that's what we're happening now. All right, Carla, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot. You did a wonderful job. You know, that was on your mind because that was the last week's show. And I like for people, you know, it was on his mind for him to come and talk about it. Then he made some very valid point concerning about Christ. And it's true. You know, he never said to worship him, you know. And that's true. We're going to take this next call. We got April in the studio. Go ahead, Carla, if you're still there.
Hey, Mr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine. Good night. Sorry for taking so long. We had to call on the line.
You know, you're doing an excellent job. In respect to immigration.
Go ahead, sir.
I think we should consider a comprehensive immigration policy that both sides of the aisle, the opposition and the governing party, should do. And I think they should look at all sectors of the economy that we experience in growth and that we can perhaps increase, you know, skilled labor.
They should.
For example, if you have skilled labor in the construction field, or if you want in the farming sector, we should have a quota that we say, okay, in the farming sector, we're going to allow 2,000 workers. in that sector. And when that quota is done, it's done. And how companies or businesses apply for those, that quota. And construction, if they're skilled, the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And try to regulate it that we know who's coming in.
Yes.
And once we have them come in, we should have certain criteria that we attach to it. For example, we said, okay, you've been approved. You've been approved by this company to come in. So now we need proof of your living accommodation.
Residency.
That contract should be signed, given to the Department of Immigration. We should do a body check once you get here.
Mm-hmm.
And once you prove that, it should be pending once your full medical is approved. And the living accommodation should be approved for the duration of the contract.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense, sir.
Whether it's farm labor or any
makes sense.
Sector, you know. But in addition to that, I think we should look to, if you want to, for skilled labor, we should look to perhaps some students that's in university in some of these countries that we could probably integrate into our system.
Most definitely, because we have so many kids unemployed in the country. These suggestions are valid and needed.
But even if we bring in someone, they need to be skilled beyond our skills that's going to be graduating from school each year. And then one of the criteria should be, if we are an English-speaking country, we should have a level through immigration, through the website, that they have to go through a test that they have to pass for English speaking. You don't want someone come here who can't even speak anything of the language.
Yeah.
So how are you going to be able to be integrated into the workforce if you don't understand any English at all?
Yeah.
That should be for all countries coming into work here. The immigration should have a standard of English that they can go online and pay to pass that test. That should be the criteria. And this can also be administered to, could be outsourced to younger people to teach English to these people to take the test.
Yes.
So they can generate revenue also.
Yes.
You know.
Because we want them to be incorporated in the Bahamas and our rules and regulation, you know, and to be.
Yes.
Yes. And to be
disciplined. So I think there's a lot we can do.
Yes,
They have to have adequate housing.
Yes.
Their housing,
that's what we want, you see.
Should be right.
That's what we want for them.
And the people who lobbying for them or petition or put in the application for them to come and make sure these criteria are met.
Met, yes.
If we're going to let them into the country.
It gets rid of the fog that, you know, their mindset would be changed. They would be cleanliness and next to godliness. They'd have a hosting environment where they wouldn't have to be throwing out trash and et cetera and using outside slob buckets and polluting the water and getting cholera and all that stuff. You just want them to live a productive life by doing the right rules and regulation, like what you're suggesting and many other callers before.
Yeah, it should be a quota. I mean, we should.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
If you want cooks, then we say so much for cooks. If you want computer tech people, it's so much for them. If you want the hotel managers, we should have a quota. And when that quota is done each year, it's done.
Because we've been taking advantage of them also. You know, many of us have been taking advantage of them with the underpaid. So this would bring it up to par where we treat them humanely. At the same time, you know, we'd have a country that we're raising in the right standards in God's eye.
Yeah, man. You know, and like I said, in addition to our economy looking at creating employment, if our Ministry of Economic Affairs should consider companies that have the potential to expand, they should look at what can we do to help these companies expand to create employment. For example, if it's an existing company that's been in business for more than 5 to 10 years and they can add 20 persons to the job, perhaps they may look and we can come up with a program where you give them a grant facility.
Yes.
But how does it work? It works where we say, okay, what sector that you have demand that you're going to grow your business? You're going to hire 20 people?
Mm.
Okay. We will help you with probably the salary. We'll help you with the salaries and supplies. But we won't be able to have that information where we can show you creating jobs in that sector.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you can't release those people for a certain period.
Yes.
You know, and you can do it by industry and see how you can create employment. You'll have the right data that you can show how job creation is being presented in each sector.
Makes sense, though.
With the assistance of the government. Mm. For example, if you're doing manufacturing, so if you're farmers and there's the integration where you have a co-op selling to a manufacturer and he's hiring five persons because he can produce more for export. We have to find creative ways to integrate the various industries to see how we can create employment for our people.
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, you did a wonderful job. I want to say thanks very much to the callers. You did
thank
a wonderful job. Anything you want to close on? Well, I guess he left. And the callers are doing a very good job. You know, the guy talked about Christ and see the truth. You know, do your research, people. You know, anyone who right now say they're a Christian and would object to some of the things that we said over the radio, using the talking, nothing in your belief, you know. It's just the truth that we're speaking. If you read upon it, you would see the truth, you know, and just apply it to your life. I want to play this flick to show you that we here in the country, right, by the Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis, are standing up for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and the Bahamian people and saying that we are going to continue to repatriate regardless of what the UN is saying. But he gave a good explanation. It was not a bad explanation. Circumstances like this is happening in our country. This is President Bill Clinton speaking on immigration matters concerning the United States of America, similar to what Brent Simmons had said, similar to what Brave Davis said. So here's the flick. So when the United Nations ever want to tell us repatriation, I think the Honorable Brave Davis need to listen to this, that the former president of the United States, one of the greatest presidents ever, served two consecutive terms as president of the United States of America, Mr. Bill Clinton. Listen to this.
Not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
All right, y'all listen to that? Yeah. Former President Bill Clinton speaking on the matters. Isn't that sound the same thing in the Bahamas? Now, listen, like I said, the Bahamas, you all might take this hard to believe, right? We are the real indigenous people, right? But over the course of law, when the French came here with Christopher Columbus and then the English afterwards, we became a nation of immigrants. And then we became independent in 1973 and became the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, in case people don't know. We were British before that, and our original indigenous were Arawak Indians or Latinos. That's our original, our original indigenous name, okay? So that's former President Bill Clinton speaking on the matter, what we have in discussion today. He's talking about America, and it sounds similar to the Bahamas. You talk about how there are people coming to their country, doing crime, and et cetera. Isn't it sound the same here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scoogee.
Hey, good night, good night.
Hey, good night. Hey, Scoogee.
Hey.
Yeah, that do sound like the Bahamas in some instances, because they're speaking about protecting their country,
mm-hmm.
right? But I mean, in that instance, the Bahamas only just talk that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have a country would believe in talking or try to talk solutions away.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Right. And then after talking and trying to talk it away, then we say we can pray it away. Right. And then all of this boiled right back into what your guys was talking about with religion. All it comes right back in, you know, because see, if faith without works is dead.
Say that again, sir.
Faith without works is dead.
Mm. So you can pray all you want if you don't put it in the works, eh?
And talk all you want.
And nothing happening. Nothing happening. The situation remains the same.
And that's what we've been saying for the last 50 years in this country. Who could be? I mean, you grew up on East Street, like I know I grew up on East Street. When them churches on East Street, when talking about them big jumper church, when you see they used that church back in
that was the church days.
The area used to be closed.
That was the church days. That was the church days for us.
Right? But look here, we were just praying because we were following a religion,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of this boils right again, like he tell you, right? The religion, we was taught or was confused to believe that religion is righteousness, mm-hmm. right? Christ ain't never been a part of no religion, none.
No.
Absolutely none. Any religion, anybody could call and tell me that Christ was a part of that religion, I can just...
You still there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, anybody would call me and tell me Christ was a part of any of the religions we could identify today, I would tell them I would join that religion because he was a part of none.
It's the truth, right? What you're saying. So how could you be following so-called Christ who didn't have a religion, but you sit down in church and you're praising? So, yes.
Christ was teaching righteousness.
Yes, teaching people how to treat one another.
Religion.
Teaching people how to live with one another. Do unto others as you have others do unto you.
The Bible tells us, right, righteousness exalts a nation. Instead of reproach to any people, right? Mm-hmm. It could have said, if you were in this religion, if you was a Catholic, you were exalted. Or if you was a Baptist, you were exalted because you were in the best religion. Or you was an Anglican. It could have said that. But it didn't. Because religion ain't relevant in God's eyesight. Right? And that's why he tell them many can come and say they do this and they do that. And then all the rest of them take. Hello?
Go ahead, sir. Rachel, listen to you.
But he ain't... This is how he can deny them simply because they trying to find him to religion, and you know, and the Bible teaches us that you can't serve God to man traditions, right? And these religions just follow every tradition of man.
I know, Carl, I just want to say this to you. This is not a slap in the one face, but here's a little wake up call for you. Do you know that you can't serve two masters? Do you know that when people take the oath and they swear, you know that you're serving actually the King of England and you're not serving the Lord himself no more? I hope people know that when they take the book. I hope they know that.
You are definitely correct, you see, because if you know of Scrooge that England and the European nation were the ones who had established religion as we know it today. Because we used to serve God in truth, right, and not religion, right? But as far as we know it today, all of the religions what we could identify today was formed by six white men from America, excluding the two that is the biggest one, what we call Catholic and Anglican, mm-hmm. right? All of the rest, what you could identify, was formed by six white men.
Yes, one.
Right?
Yes.
So in England. I mean, off the Caucasian diaspora. So you can tell me that before everything, civilization was started in the motherland, right? But we follow in religions and tried to find God through the same people what incarcerate us, killed us, murder us, tell us, just read this. If you read anything else, you dead. If you think anything else, you dead. Right? And so what type, we have to wake up in this world and this country and try to see things different than it was told to us.
Yes, it's
right?
Reverse psychology.
A lot of us are living things that was told to us.
Hey, unknowingly, we are serving an entity or a man when we're supposed to be serving the Most High, and we get it mixed up. That's the truth, because I look at when the police officers get swearing, I listen to when the politician gets swearing. You know, guess who they swearing to? Listen to their words. They swear to the King of England.
The Queen of her ass and successor.
That's who you swear to. So.
But we as a people still in some of our minds, right? That's our delusional.
That's why Bob Marley said that.
Emancipate
yourself from mental slavery.
You free, but you ain't really free. We living in a delusion in the Bahamas,
yes.
where we saying we are independent, and just like you indicated, how could a country be independent and still be swearing their allegiance to a foreign country?
That's what I don't understand.
And that is mind-boggling. And then you find people them with claims to be so educated
and still can't
so
understand that
well-traveled and so well-versed, but you could never hear them trying to explain how could a country be independent and still giving their allegiance to an other nation, and then we wonder why we are suffering as a people.
Because we don't understand. Eh? Like I tell them, if we look at the system, this system now is the same system we've been around centuries ago. That's the Roman system. Still here today.
Colonial, right.
Still here today. And it's set up where we have the governor general right there. And the prime minister is just like the king of Judea.
Colonialism.
There's nothing new under the sun. And they can't even compute that.
They don't want to. Because, see, the system is so beneficial for them as it is.
Mm-hmm.
To change that, right? That means, you know, they can possibly put people in heights that they can't control them no more.
Yeah.
Because there's no, because they are more free or have more freedom to do more things as a citizen.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, the payments only have the freedom to go to work, church. If you're lucky, you go to one party and come back if you're lucky, or someplace, right? But we don't have freedom in this country. You cannot protest in this country no more. I'm scorched. So you have to watch this, man. You know. But at the end of the day, sir, continue to do the good work you're doing. But the Bahamas has to change, scorched.
Yeah, I agree.
The Bahamas has to change, sir. Please, Scourge. You have a lot of airs, Odell.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing my part.
You need to start advocating, sir, indirectly or directly, the change of the Bahamas.
Yes.
Our children can't do 50 years of what we did and our parents did.
Man, that's a mouthful. I wanted to say, man, you did a wonderful job. I don't know what to say. The callers have been tremendous tonight. You make all the sense in the world. Anything you want to close on?
No, sir. All I want to say is continue against Scourge, right? For all of us.
Yes, sir.
To try to advocate in every way we can to change the Bahamas. The Bahamas cannot survive in this new upcoming 50 years. We cannot continue on in the same manner, right? We are leaving this old 50 years.
Yes, you know? I agree.
The Bahamas only 50 years for 24 hours, then, right? And after that, we 50 years and one day.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful job, man. Enjoy your night. And you night, you also did some enlightenment. You know, you're saying me, but you also did some enlightenment too. So that's why I have the show. So a person like yourself who is well knowledgeable, you look at, see, you're not in the four walls. You're being blessed from the Father himself. You know, that blessing. That's what we have. We have the, that spirit that the Father is waking through us to preach this word and bring awareness to those who they say are smart, intelligent, have all these degree, doctrine degree. That don't mean it's nothing if you know of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you very much, caller.
That's it, my brother.
Yes, sir. Okay, I think we could be here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good evening, Scoozy.
Hey.
Boy, you know I like your boy, what your boy was saying, right?
Yeah.
He's listening all the time and he calls, you know.
Yeah, he make good sense.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to say too much because he already, you know, put in...
Yeah, he did everything, yeah.
The God concepts was stolen from Africa, but... Remember now, song, the Babylon released the chain.
Yeah.
But then we use them.
Brains.
All right. So, we need a revolution of the mind.
Yeah.
Right, Scoozy?
Yeah.
Now, I just want to get this in there. You know, the Prime Minister made a speech the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Howard played it or Dwight played it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody played it. I can't remember. I don't know what I know, but... I like to listen. So, I listen, right?
Uh-huh.
And portion of the speech would show you just what the brother was talking about just now. The deification of man, right?
Yep.
And I was very, very upset.
Hi, the
in that the subjects, yeah, man, let me tell you why. Anybody could go and listen to it. If you really notice what he sneaked in there. Yeah, let me tell you what he sneaked in there. It actually likened the king to create solutions or solve humanity problems. Solutions for humanity's problem or problems that confront humanity. It was more like the deification of man. So I was wondering how the king could solve humanity's problem or have solutions for humanity when they are part of the problem. So you could go and play it back for yourself.
I know exactly what you're saying.
But I was surprised that you asking the king for solution or suggesting that the king have solution for mankind, humanity. This is what you see now going on, Scoozy. The humanity is being steered, socially engineered in direction that the globalists and the people want you to go, you know.
Hey.
The central bank digital currency. Miss Scoozy, nothing you see going on right now, Scoozy, I haven't mentioned on the radio for the past 8 years. I was calling Guardian Radio.
Some of us are prophet, you know. We ain't being ideology school. We ain't being to
no. You need no ideology in there.
We just get the blessings from the knowledge. We get the blessing, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the Father. We get an anointed spirit from the Father.
Scoozy, you stepping out there, you know. You know that, right?
Yeah, man.
Thanks. Yeah, man, give thanks to them, brother. Yeah. I got to make a little run.
Yeah, man, enough respect.
Bless them. Yeah.
And you're always doing a wonderful job, man. Keep
up respect,
the good work.
Yeah, man. Hey, yeah. Scoozy.
Hey.
What I'm saying is, I ain't joking with them plants, you know.
No, listen, man. Everything is ongoing. Man, listen, me working on Dr. King. Man, listen.
But I could, if you're Scoozy, I'll drop listen. Them to you, you know. Because I'm saying is, the dog's killing them. They die.
All right, then. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Yeah, man,
okay.
Respect. Yeah.
All right. And enjoy your night. To all the callers, you guys did a tremendous job. I'd like to say, you guys did a tremendous job. You're calling here tonight, you know, and we had a wonderful conversation with each and every one of you. And, you know, we are loving people, but we have laws and regulation. If you listen to the comments by the former Minister of Immigration, Brent Simonette, if you listen to the comments in 1996, 1995, with President Bill Clinton, okay, same, okay, if you listen to what Brave Davis is saying to the UN, concerning repatriation to put a halt to it, Mr. Davis said, you know, we are an independent country. And this is why I want our leaders to step up. See, this is why I want our leaders to step up for things that is most important. You see, because we are a country that we are governed by laws, right? But we also have our set of laws that deals with righteousness and immortalities. That's what we call it. Immoral. Let me see if monks now. Immoral. Man, excuse me. The title. Immoralities. Right? Now, I want everyone to listen to this. And this goes to when we want to change certain laws to say, you know, man getting married to man, woman getting married to woman. And then we want to have these orgies. And then we want to have society where we are talking to our kids. Not the principle of family structure, man and a woman. We want to doctrine to our kids and say, you know what? You can pick what sex you is. I want to know in what world, with all the knowledge that so-called smarter set of people and these countries that are so powerful would say, let a child make a decision if she want to be a boy or girl. And then in this age factor, you're going to put them in front of doctors who are going to persuade them. Not on this, these childs, and they say, at the age of 21, their brain is fully functional. And we want to doctrinate in our schools about same-sex marriage and transgender, and we want to vouch for bathrooms in the school to confuse the boys and girls. When we have so much high divorce, we have so much immoralities going on in our country. See, for those who are pushing their agenda, right? Anyone ever seen me push any agenda that is not beneficial to the Bahamian people? Anytime I come on this radio, it's always something beneficial that I talk about for the Bahamian people. It's not something that is taken away from our religious belief or what we believe in or immoral behavior. Immoral behavior is destroy a nation and destroys a country. And if we don't listen to none other than this man in our country who was speaking around the world of immorality. And let me show you what immorality is due. The same system that our church leaders, the majority of our church leaders in this country, who leave from here to go to get their theology and get their doctor's degree in England and Rome and all these places around in the European countries, right? They need to listen to this. And this is my one. Let me show you when you will go against Yahshua or Jesus, John the Baptist preaching, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego preaching on keeping the covenant, and do not do things that bring immoral thinking to your nation, because the Father don't like man to man and woman to woman. He claims it's an abomination. This is not me speaking. I read the book, okay? And if any church or any church leaders ever allow for a man to marry a next man or a woman to marry a next man, Sorry about the comment. A woman to marry a next woman and man to marry a next man. You see, that's why I don't like talk about these things, right? That is destroy a nation. It is confuse the leaders. They can't think straight, because when they go against the word of the Father, not for all them, he confuses you. And he don't confuse you. You confuse yourself, because now you become lovers of men. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is our own Miles Monroe. Who he say? And the same system that our pastors go through is the same system today who they inherit the Roman Catholic Church from. And who we over here worshiping. And watch what happened to them when they did immoral to society. Watch what happened to the empress. Listen to this.
It was defeated by what destroys most countries. The Roman Empire was destroyed by immorality. As a matter of fact, history teaches that the Roman Empire was destroyed by the loins of their leaders. Your loins are right here. Their sexual life destroyed them. They died. They decayed from immorality. 14 Caesars, 12 were homosexuals. They slept with boys, not women. They fell in love with their lust to the point where they became so immoral that they began to have men marrying men. When the Roman
Now, you hear that? 14 emperors and 12 became homosexuals. So as great as Rome was, it got brought down because of immorality. We in the country have to protect that. And I like to say this to those over here, say we're discriminating. Let me just say this to each and every one of you. Me, Wallington O'Brien, I ain't discriminating on you. The only thing I'm saying to you is you could bonk who you want bonk. Hang where you want to hang.
Okay? All we're saying to you, don't make it public to us. That's why there's a house and that's why there's a bedroom. Okay? You don't need to be walking around the road doing that. Even now, straight people don't even do that nowadays, walking around hugging and kissing. Everyone. And even straight people, when they have sex in the house. Okay? And they ain't discussing that. If you want your behavior, right, and you decide to change your sex to be a transgender, and you want to not be discriminated on, then you can't go in an environment where there are straight people, because in there you will be discriminated against. Because if I go to a straight nightclub, right, and I'm not discriminating, it's just a fox, you know, because you change your sex and you dress like a woman. And I said this week before last, and if you were to go to a nightclub, a straight nightclub where straight people is, and you dress or you change your sex or whatever such a situation is, and you look very beautiful, and you go to this nightclub, and they're a young man, and then they're intoxicated, and they see this beautiful woman, and you who change your sex, you know what you are, right? You're discriminating because you're not letting them know what sex change or et cetera. That comes down the road if they find out, so you're discriminating but not telling the truth. And then, you know, there's a conversation. You meet a person and you start to talk. And then they really change numbers. I also said this. Which thing is going to happen eventually? Okay? So if you want to do these things, you'd have to have an environment. So if there's transgender people out there, then you have to create a transgender nightclub where you invite all those who are transgender to go to that nightclub. Okay? That's how I feel about it. And if you a man to man, that's your private life. But when it comes to saying, teaching these things to our children, it's a no-no. It's a no-no. Bringing education about transgender in the school is a no-no. Teaching about sex in school is a no-no. Okay? Mars Monroe said it best. 14 emperors of Rome, 12 were homosexuals. And they didn't think with their minds, they think with their ding-a-ling-ling. And they like boys. And they decided to use their power of influence to corrupt great Rome and cause immorality. And we know that in those relationships, just like any other relationship, they get violent. You understand? And there's some kind of energy, some kind of demonic energy in there where it gets so bad. Okay? So that's just my say on it. And just listen to the Mars Monroe. You know, so we all are family members, you know, but they are discreet with their ways, because they know it's wrong. If you see a society is going to accept what's wrong as right and try to make it law, we finish. We finish. Because, see, you're going with these international organizations. That's why I'm glad the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas stand up to CARICOM. And he stated, you know, we're going to keep on deporting. So I want you to do the same thing when people talk about these gender equality, and et cetera. Some things should never be on the books, even be considered in the country. Same-sex marriage should be off the books. You know, teaching sex education should be off the books and shouldn't even be in our vocabulary in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas when we say it's a Christian nation. You understand? Like I say, if you want to do that, that is your personal agenda. And you show me in this country where people say they're victimized. You show me in this country where persons of that kind of background is targeted or attacked, unless it's personal where they know that person. It don't happen like that in the country. We don't go and attack no one who two girls who partners or two minus partners. As long as they're in our space and they're not coming on to us, they can live their life as long as they want. We have people who we know in the community is all like that, and they live in, and we hear them every day, we talk to them every day, we shake their hand and everything. I mean, that's the far as we go. And we are good friends. We care for one another. We change. They give me money. I give them money.
You know, we just keep it at a level, but they have their people. But they ain't walking around the road and trying to be boastful about it. Y'all want to end up like Rome? Y'all want to end up like Sodom and Gomorrah? Huh? So let me say this to all you pastors. All right? Because there are a lot of gay pastors out there. And listen to me. Let me just say this. There are a lot of gay pastors out there. All right? Let me just say this to you. And they out here teaching our kids about God and his Jesus. Jesus said, protect the children. Okay? We have a lot of gay pastors in this country, and they're preaching the word of God, and they're doing it for their own self, for their own personal use. You better stop it. You understand? So if you're thinking in your mind that you're going to allow same-sex marriage in this country, or for sex education to go in our school, or for some transgender to say they want a bathroom, or for some male guy change sex order to go in a woman's bathroom, and say he changed. This whole mix-up thing. I don't understand how a man won't be a woman. And a woman won't be a man. It's all mixed right up. And if we allow the abomination. And when we say abomination, this is not my word. This is the word. This is the word came from the book. Alright? The Bible that all of us read. And this is the Father's word, not my word. Or man's work. This is God's work. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at God's work, because God's word is eternal. So all y'all sissy pastors out there, let me tell y'all something. Y'all get that we are thinking with y'all mind, because y'all keep this thing going on in this country, and that's why we're in this position we're in today. You understand? Y'all preaching the word of God and using it for y'all benefit. I said, sin, and I admit what I did. And I became a better person because the truth sets you free. There's not one person out there can say one thing about me, because I've changed my life around. And I was a wicked, wicked young man. I used to plot on people. Didn't like all kind of people. Huh? And I get rid of all that. And I've been blessed with an enlightenment now. My third eye has been awakened. You understand? And I come to speak the truth. You heard Marge Monroe stated, if we ever allow this country, we done trying to regain identity. If we ever allow international community come here and dictate to us about same-sex marriage or bringing this idea of sex education, that's an attack on your nation. You understand? And those, these kind of functions, these kind of programs started coming from the UN and CARICOM, because some people in these countries, that's their agenda. And I'd like to say this to all those who are the bombers and want to marry, right, or want to change your sex. There are countries in the world that allow you to come and get married. You understand? So what you can do, you know, if you don't want, this is just my advice to you, if you want to get married man to man, there are countries in Europe where you could catch a flight and they allow you to marry. Or you could go to Atlanta in America, you know, and get married. But you won't have no jurisdiction here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I think it'd be void here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas because it's against our law. Now, in the States, in Atlanta, where you can marry, it's legal over there. So, in other words, if you get married and you come over here, I think it should have no jurisdiction on us. It only should be held where that particular individual has the right legal way. I mean, man's way to legally get married man to man, man to woman. So if you want to do those things, look for the countries that allow it. And I'll say to our leaders and our church leaders, y'all better get it right. Because not only y'all know God, I want to say this to many of these pastors in this church. Many of you are chosen. Right? Some of y'all are not. Some of y'all are just in this for the money. Some of y'all are just in this for y'all personal gain. Some of y'all are just in this for the smoke screen. There's a big price to pay. Valentino O'Brien, in this, to tell the truth, and I make it a difference in my community, I make it a difference in my country, and I'm also trying to make a difference by using the airwaves to enlighten people to do the right thing, to encourage people to give back, to do what Christ said to do. Richard, our church leaders are doing the opposite. Some of our church leaders are doing the opposite. Christ went on the highways and the byways, and the caller stated that he had no religion. He came to bring down no government. The only thing he came to do is to change the hearts of men, talk about his Father, get individuals who were lost and bring them back on track so that they could get the blessings from the Lord, so they could help a brother and sister who is in need. You understand? The church, again, was created to make sure all needs were met. That's what the church was designed for and built for. All right? That means the church is a place we gather on a specific day and we talk about the needs of that community. Where all the leaders are from, different community leaders are, who are part of the council, they would go to the church. They would talk to the head priest. They would give the information to the head priest. Head priest would collect funds from all those who are fortunate enough to donate, gather it, and then give it to the community leaders. And they'd go in various parts of their community, go on the highways and byways and fix their houses, buy them some food, put the children in school so they could get their books, and et cetera. And that's how it was. And that's what the church was designed for. The church is opposite now. Just as well, the church is opposite when it comes to the teaching of Christ. You understand? They're in the four walls. Christ was never in the four walls. He never went into the church because he knew that the church is him, and he knew that his job is to go out there and bring as much people who are lost back to the Father. And the church today allows so many people to die in sin. I thought the church was designed to save people from going to hell. But if you're marrying people in the church, going against the very book that you read, you're going to church on Sunday when the Father tells you that the Sabbath is Saturday. And you're normally going to church on Sunday listening to man who constantly changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. But the church that say they serve God is doing the opposite. They're doing man's word version of it by worshiping the Sabbath on a Saturday. See, this is still what I'm talking about. God's word is a Saturday, but man's word is what the church are doing. See, that's what I'm talking about. And all this is true. You know, all the Christians in this country, all the pastors, they know this is true. They could go do this research because the citizens like us talking about it. You have a couple of the callers talk about it tonight. Talk about it tonight. You understand? So yes, I just want to say, you know, it's no hate. You know, your private life is your private life. But don't come talking about you want to put Bartrams and for transgender people. You want same-sex marriage in our country. All right? You want to put sex education. You want to teach our kids about transgenderism and teach our kids you have a choice to be male or female, and you're telling us don't discriminate. A lot of sick people in this country, yeah? Mentally ill people living in this country. Before I close out, I just want you to do some documentary report on those who changed their sex organs. And if you listen to them about their health care, some of these people who did these sex organs regretting it to the fullest. They're challenging their medical doctors who gave them the advice. And now their own insurance is running away from them because their insurance and medical bill is too expensive, you know? So the insurance is actually abandoning those who do the sex change. So you know it's going to fall on? It's going to fall on the state. You see, because their medical expenses are going to be 10 times a mere Kermit, you know, who are just doing a regular medical, you know? But you who have to get hormone change and all this stuff, which you're going to need for the rest of your life, your body changes. You know, it's going to be very expensive. And so that's why they're saying, you know, they don't get health care. You know, if your insurance will deny you, you want the Bahamas government help a special bed there for you, which was designed for male and female. Now we have to make a special bed. We have to have special doctors. We have to have special treatment. You know, it's crazy.
You know? It's crazy. This is not discrimination, you know. It's the fact that some people are trying to slip some agendas. That is no culture of ours in this country. If we're independent, right? And if we say this is a Christian nation and we have Christian values, then let's correct the Sabbath. Okay? Let's do what Jesus did. And he changed the mindset of the government leaders. He could have destroyed them. He could have brought his father's army. He did not do all those. He could have intimidated. He did not do none of those. He just was a humble man who showed everyone that he was for real and that he cared about people. There's no one that met him or saw him that didn't believe in him, because they see how he treat the kids. He loved kids. He loved the old. He loved the sick and the disabled. And people watch him. And he went in the highways and byways and in people's houses, and this changed their life because they know, they saying this is the Messiah. But look, he act normal. And they notice the Messiah because they see the miracles he did. You know what the miracles today for pastors is? To bring relief to the families. You know, that's the miracle. Come spend a family that lost a loved one. Bring the church and spend like 3 months to this family and watch a difference in this family. Help them fix their house. Help them get that young kid who is out of school and they didn't have no way of getting him in school. Someone in the church could take responsibility. Someone in the church could take responsibility and help buy some shingles. Someone in the church could cook a Sunday day to go to the house and say, we know we come here today. This is our church. We're not in the four walls. We're going to minister to this woman who has lost her child. And we're going to spend some time here. And we're going to help them fix their house. We're going to make sure that all needs were met. And then we'd find the next house and we do the same thing. And this is how we can change our country. This is a new evangelist that needs to be talked about in the country. We need a church to spend some time door to door. But at-risk families or single-parent moms. And help them out. Help them turn on the Wi-Fi. They start going to church. Help them find a job. There are many people in the church who has a lot of businesses and a lot of contacts. And they could be of great help to the church. Because now people would start to believe in you and you become like Christ. And that's what Christ did. You understand? Stop doing the opposite people. You understand? And remember what Miles Monroe said. 14 emperors, 12 were homosexuals. And that's why Rome got defeat. And if you look at America, no one's going to be able to beat America in warfare. But economically, they're getting defeated around the world. Financially, they're getting defeated. And they're going to slip from the superpower, the third. China's going to be number one, Russia stays number two, and America's going to be number three. But think about this. They talk about them one, two, and three. But listen what they say about us. With all that, we have a greater prophecy than what even the Bible speaks about, the eagle, the dragon, and the bear. Let me tell you, that's why we are chosen. The Father said that when the whole world goes against him, that's when country is passed, these homosexual bills, forget about God, same-sex marriage, transgender, teaching in the schools, you know, corruption, where only the politicians are protected and the police are protected, whereas the citizens are persecuted to the full extent of the law, and we could see it with our blind eyes, and we can't do nothing about it. You understand? That's how crazy it is. You know, and that's what happens. And no one's going to beat America. They are going to get beat within. You're seeing all the mass shooting. You're seeing the police killing the white, killing the black guys. There's a lot of problem boiling with the American dollar. You're seeing Their roads are crumbling. You know what I mean? There's so much stuff going on in America, and it shows you America is falling just like our Rome fall, like our Solomon Mall fall. And if we here in the country don't regain our identity, hey, we're going right back. We'll be just like them. Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. So I'm Valentino Brand. My producer tonight was Kermit. I hope you enjoyed this show on Guiding Radio 96.9 tonight on Guiding Radio. And I hope to see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Sign on, see you next week.
Respect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see I humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy, they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, Watch them only passion for a season. God bless, I gon' weed them.